Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. Just yesterday, we published an article I wrote titled, What a Difference 6 Months Does Not Make. That article was a follow-up, admittedly a lengthy follow-up, on several Heart of the Matter reports and also an article titled, Of Ducks and New Calvinists, which Reverend Ivan Foster and I published last June 25th, 2012. The subject of those Heart of the Matter reports and that article was the breathtaking compromise of Dr. Joel Beakey. That is, with regard to his ministry associations personally and also the two ministries which Dr. Beakey heads up, including Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary and Reformation Heritage Books. Now, Dr. Beakey is the editorial director of Reformation Heritage Books. Reverend Foster and I were not exactly widely commended for writing that article called Of Ducks and New Calvinists, but we didn't write it to garner the praise of men. We wrote it as two ministers convicted of our duty to our Savior and His truth and His blood-bought church. We wrote it to honor Him, to contend for the faith, and to warn the body of Christ about the deep compromise of an extremely high-profile minister who influences many, many thousands of the body of Christ, and in more than just our nation. The scriptures are more than clear concerning separation from false religions, from false teachings, from false teachers, and even concerning separation from those ministers and teachers who may be Christian brethren, but who openly promote and practice that which the Word of God condemns. The Word of God very forcefully and clearly forbids the Lord's people from all worship and ministry and spiritual religious fellowship with false religions and religionists. A few examples of such warnings and prohibitions ought to suffice for sincere Christians desiring to be faithful to their Heavenly Father who has showered them with so much free grace, mercy, and love, and their Savior who loved them and washed them in His own blood and ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let me just share just three scripture verses. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. It could not be more clear. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Another scripture verse, Ephesians 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 John 1, 10 and 11 are the verses. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, and we can make the broadest application of that to all the essential doctrines, of course, of our faith. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Speaking, of course, of those who, as the apostle puts it, bring not this doctrine, those false teachers and ministers. Now, to touch on what might be called secondary separation, that is the duty we have as Christians to separate from evangelical brethren who refuse to separate themselves from false religionists and also obviously worldly corruption and those that are promoting it. The Lord is definitely not silent on that issue either. I'll give you just two scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 3:14 and 15 are the verses. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Of course, it should go without saying that what the apostle, by the Spirit of the Lord, commands concerning one portion of the Scripture is, of course, true for the entire Word of God. Do we not believe in plenary inspiration? Romans 16 is the chapter. The verses are 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, I mentioned the article we published yesterday titled, What a Difference 6 Months Does Not Make. Here's an excerpt from the opening lines of that article. And what I say there applies, of course, to what will be said on this program today as well. As I take pen in hand to write this article, I do it with the fervent hope that it will be the last time I address the issue, which is the subject of this report. I write now only because circumstances dictate that to not write would be to leave a duty partially undone, given certain other developments of the last 6 months. What follows is anything but a hit piece. Rather, it is a simple setting forth of very public information, which is of very great importance to the spiritual welfare of the Lord's people. The facts shared in this report are as they were meticulously documented at the time this article was written. I would like to also read for you the last several sentences of that previous June 25th, 2012 article I've been talking about. And here it is. We certainly have nothing personal against Dr. Beakey, nor do we have any axe to grind. Certainly all the information we have shared, speaking of that article then, is current, very public, and none of it is of a personal nature. In fact, it is all information that Dr. Beakey is apparently very comfortable with, and a good deal of it even came from his ministry websites or the RHB, that is Reformation Heritage Book Catalog, with the rest coming from organizations he has joined with in ministry fellowship. The one exception would be the documentation of several books which Dr. Beakey co-authored and which are sold on Amazon.com. We are not interested in smearing in any way Dr. Beakey. Our prayer is that he will repent and return to the old paths. Where is the good way? Our great concern is for the glory and honor of Christ Jesus and his blood-bought church. It is that heartfelt concern and heartfelt conviction that prompted us to write this warning. Now, as I said, that was the last several sentences, actually, of that previous June 25th, 2012 article that was titled Of Ducks and New Calvinists. But I would like to also issue a warning right now to those bitter men and women who have personal vendettas against Dr. Beakey. There is not a minister alive, if he's been a minister for long, which does not have such enemies. It may perchance be a man or a woman who was rightly disciplined or rebuked by the minister, and rather than repent, he or she was filled up then with bitterness and vengeance. Or it may be one of those rebels who drifts about seeking controversy, or perhaps has a personal axe to grind with the minister for some reason. To those individuals, I say, don't even bother contacting me. I'm not interested in being your accomplice in wickedness. I don't want to hear you vent your spleen and spew your hatred and bitterness. So again, those with personal vendettas against Dr. Beakey, stay away from me. I don't want anything to do with you. Now, those who want a more complete picture of the deep compromise, which is characteristic of Dr. Beakey's ministry labors, will have to read that article of Ducks and New Calvinists, if you haven't already. And then also, please read the article we published yesterday. Very important article, titled, What a Difference 6 Months Does Not Make. The second article is definitely not repetitious of the first, and the two together contain a great volume of carefully documented, checked, and rechecked information, and many, many links, all of which show how amazingly, brazenly compromised Joel Beakey is with regard to for whom and with whom he speaks, as well as with regard to what organizations he's a member of and involved with in various ways, including speaking at the organization's events, And then lastly, those articles, the first one even perhaps more so than the second with regard to Reformation heritage books, but both together document the utter corruption of that particular one of Dr. Beakey's ministries, in other words, Reformation heritage books. What I mean is RHB offers books written by an unbelievable array of authors, which are absolutely dangerous to the spiritual welfare and sanctification of the Lord's people. We're talking here about many, many new evangelicals, both of the Arminian and the Calvinist flavor, and some of them charismatic to boot. Others are deeply into rap music as well. Many are wildly ecumenical, many Manhattan Declaration signers, and some, are even what we would call leaders, definitely leaders in the ecumenical movement. We could think of Timothy George, for instance, just one, for instance. And there are women teachers, including an associate professor of biblical and theological studies. One can find books at RHB which are written by outright heretics, and books which present and promote the writings of Roman Catholics, including priests. Yet the stated mission of Reformation heritage books, we're told, by Reformation heritage books is, quote, to glorify God and strengthen his church through the publication and distribution of Puritan and Reformed literature, unquote. And the title of a regular RHB publication featuring their books is, it's in Latin, but the English is Pick Up and Read. Pick up and read, urging the body of Christ, pick up and read these books by even the authors I just described. Now, on this program today, we're not going to have time to even touch anymore on the subject of Reformation heritage books. Vitally important subject, very relevant to our subject today, but we don't have time. So all I can say is go to our pccmonroe.org website and read the two articles, both of which are loaded with documentation links. The first, of Ducks and New Calvinists from last June 25th, 2012. And then also, What a Difference 6 Months Does Not Make, which was published just yesterday. Now, except with regard to three large, very ecumenical, very corrupted organizations Dr. Beakey is entangled with on an ongoing basis, we're also not going to have time to speak about Dr. Beakey's willingness to share preaching platforms with deeply corrupted ministers and other individuals. For instance, he'll be speaking at an upcoming conference of the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, and we could give other such examples. Now, again, read the articles. Simply put, it is a very bad situation, very bad for the Lord's blood-bought church. Now, what Reverend Ivan Foster and I are going to address today is Dr. Beakey's ongoing deep involvement with REFL 500 and his involvement with two grossly ecumenical, corrupt organizations we were not aware of until recently. One of those organizations is the Evangelical Theological Society, ETS, which practically speaking is a mishmash of Protestants, Roman Catholics, the Orthodox, Seventh-day Adventists, and we could say who knows what. And then the World Reform Fellowship, WRF, is the other organization that we're going to briefly speak of, since Dr. Beakey is also a member of it. He's not as deeply involved with it. He is a member, but not anywhere near as deeply involved with it as he is with REFL 500 and then ETS. But still, he's a member. He's part of it. It's an organization no faithful Christian should have any part in, especially a minister of Christ. And then you have one that has so much influence, and he puts his name right on that organization's membership list. And you know that influences others to be involved. Now, I've asked my brother Ivan Foster to do an update on the issue of Joel Beakey and REFL 500. He is going to take that part of this. We're doing things a bit differently today. Ivan has pre-taped that update, and we're simply editing it in with what I'm going to be sharing concerning Dr. Beakey and those other two organizations I mentioned. Now, before we hear that report from Reverend Foster, I believe it would be good if I could just give a very brief overview of REFL 500, or as some also say, even with the organization, REFL 500, we've heard it both ways. In fact, I'm just going to read an excerpt from that June 25th article, a short excerpt from that of Ducks and New Calvinists article. And here it is. In June 2010, Dr. Beakey joined in preaching fellowship with Southern Baptist Timothy George to speak at a REFL 500 event. George is the Dean and Professor of Divinity at Beeson Divinity School and the Theological Advisor for Christianity Today. He's on the editorial boards of First Things, Ecclesiology, and Books and Culture, and is currently the chair of the Doctrine and Christian Unity Commission of the Baptist World Alliance. It's an understatement to say none of that is good. Timothy George, who likes to speak of Mary as the Mother of God, has also been very active in the International Baptist Roman Catholic Dialogue and the Evangelicals and Catholics Together movement and documents. He also joined with the late Chuck Colson and Romanist Robert George to author the Manhattan Declaration. That document was made public at a news conference on November 20th, 2009. Then 10 months later, Dr. Beakey joined with Timothy George and Albert Mohler, and of course that's a new Calvinist there, and some other speakers with whom we're not familiar to speak at the REFL 500 event. Let me stop here for a minute. The article that came out yesterday has an update on everything I'm sharing here, so you want to be sure and read that, because we haven't got time to, you know, go into all the other updates here to what I'm even reading now. And when I say Dr. Beakey joined in preaching fellowship at that REFL 500 event with these people, it doesn't mean that's when he first was active with REFL 500. But that was one event we highlighted. Now let me go on. Reformation Heritage Books, Joel Beakey, editorial director, and Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, Joel Beakey, president, have entered into a partnership with REFL 500. They are official partners. They were at that time. We believe, of course, they still are, though there was some window dressing, which we'll be telling you about. But let's go on. They've joined into a partnership with REFL 500, an ecumenical organization which seems intent on overturning the Reformation. Dr. Beakey even appears in a REFL 500 promotional video during which he speaks of that partnership we've just mentioned. The REFL 500 organization is made up of, quote, Protestant and Catholic organizations, universities, seminaries, museums, and so on, unquote. Now, that's off the REFL 500 website, by the way. Let me go on again. One current project of REFL 500, which is being carried out by a Roman Catholic university, is, quote, the Council of Trent, an interdisciplinary, interconfessional, and international perspective, unquote. Other organizations listed as REFL 500 partners and sponsors or members include such deeply corrupted, even apostate, Protestant institutions as Fuller Theological Seminary and Beeson Divinity School, as well as a number of Roman Catholic organizations and institutions such as John the 23rd Foundation for Religious Studies. By the way, one of the presentations at the REFL 500 event Dr. Beakey spoke at was titled, quote, An Ecumenical Celebration, How to Work Together with Fruit and Without Frustration, unquote. We have already mentioned, going on in this excerpt from the Ducks and New Calvinists article, we have already mentioned that apostate Protestant organizations are a part of REFL 500. This includes the Remonstrant Church, which denies any number of the essential doctrines of our faith, and boasts of such accomplishments as these. Quote, the Remonstrants were the first church in the world to open marriage for same-sex couples. It did so as early as 1986. The Remonstrants were one of the first churches in the Netherlands to ordain women as ministers. The Remonstrants are open for dialogue with members of other Christian denominations and of other religions. They were among the churches that established the World Council of Churches in 1948, unquote. Now, that was an excerpt from our June 25th article. It mentioned one REFL 500 conference Dr. Beakey spoke at, but he's spoken at a number of REFL 500 events in the past and been quite actively involved with that organization. And as I documented in the article which was published yesterday, Dr. Beakey continues to be very, very much involved in REFL 500 in spite of a little window dressing to the contrary after Mr. Foster and I published our article of Ducks and New Calvinists, June 25th, 2012. But we'll have Reverend Foster now give us an update on that very subject, the subject of Dr. Beakey and his REFL 500 Yoke Fellows.
In the month of June 2012, Ralph Ovadal and I posted the following on our websites. Last week, Pastor Ralph Ovadal and I sent out, including to a good many ministers, an article titled Of Ducks and New Calvinists. The thesis and conclusion of that much-read warning, which we reluctantly sounded, is that the very influential Dr. Joel Beakey is very much a new Calvinist. By way of justifying such a warning, we supplied copious amounts of documentation. That documentation included, but was far from limited to, Dr. Beakey's deep involvement in a grossly ecumenical organization called REFO 500. Previously, some of this same information was also shared on the Heart of the Matter radio program. Now this week, we have been informed by a minister close to Dr. Beakey that he had just agreed to sever all ministry connections to REFO 500. It is to be greatly wondered at how Dr. Beakey could ever have become involved in such a blatantly ecumenical venture in the first place. It is to be mourned that such pressure was necessary for him to withdraw from what was literally a partnership with the REFO 500 consortium. We ought now to pray that Dr. Beakey, who has so much influence with so many evangelicals, will move forward to reform his still deeply and broadly compromised ministry. So read the statement posted upon the sites of Ralph Ovadal and myself. I wish now, however, to highlight the fact that Dr. Beakey told his friends, almost within days of the exposure of his links with REFO 500, that he was breaking all links with this organization. He offered the excuse that he had naively linked himself with REFO 500 while not realizing its true character. That is strange behavior for an experienced and mature leading minister of the gospel. Nearly 6 months have gone by since he learned of the character of that organization and his public promising to sever all links. I want to ask the question, has he kept his promises? Sadly, the answer is a resounding no. The evidence for this is on the internet, and it is there for all to see, should they care to investigate. Sadly, on the basis of Dr. Beakey's assurances that he was unaware of the ecumenical position of REFO 500, and his clear statement indicating that he would withdraw from it, many good men who publicly repudiate the whole tenor of ecumenical apostasy continued their association with Dr. Beakey and in some cases strengthened that association. The fact that Dr. Beakey did not fulfill his promise to separate from REFO 500 has betrayed their trust and left them in an invidious position and undermines their stand and witness for the Lord. It is for their sakes particularly, as well as the people of God generally, that we highlight the present compromised position of Dr. Beakey regarding his continued links with REFO 500. Please consider first of all with me the biblical separation from that which offends God. What does it entail? What degree or level of separation does God expect us to execute regarding those things that offend him? I recall hearing many years ago the late Dr. Carl McIntyre, a man who undoubtedly took a great stand for the truth of God in his early days, preaching on separation from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the verses 14 to 18, and emphasizing the command of God in verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He said that separation from the unclean thing entailed a refraining from even the merest touch. The word touch carries the meaning of contact by embracing and clinging to right down to the slightest contact. He was, of course, correct in what he said. God has chosen his words most deliberately, and we should take note of them. Separation from sin means not the merest touching of sin. This matter is illustrated for us in God's instructions to Moses regarding Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Numbers chapter 16, the verses 25 and 26. Just the touching of those wicked men and anything that was theirs was enough to condemn a person to God's judgment. This separation is primarily illustrated by the words of Eve in the Garden of Eden, when she reiterated the command of God regarding the tree. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Genesis 3:3. Though the words, neither shall ye touch it, are not expressed in the prohibition uttered by God, it was implied. Such a touching of the fruit as to pull it from the tree, a taking it in the hand and a putting it to the mouth in order to eat it, was forbidden. A touch was the beginning of a taking and eating and a defying of God. This, then, is a degree of separation. God requires, and no amount of theological juggling or philosophical quibbling can alter or weaken that fact. I am required to state clearly that Dr. Beatty has not entered upon such a separation from that which he acknowledged was wrong and required his withdrawal from. He has removed links to Refo 500 and promotional material from the Reformation Heritage Books website, but that only serves to heighten the wrongdoing, since it gives the impression that a determined effort has been taken to separate from this apostate organization, when in fact that is not the case. Secondly, let me consider with you the links that Dr. Beakey has maintained with Refo 500. Now, the links are too numerous to list or name in their entirety in this program, but I can illustrate the fact that Dr. Beakey is still in cordial relationship and fully participating in Refo 500 events and accompanying and fellowshipping with its leadership. Dr. Beakey is in full participation and cooperation with a number of Refo 500 enterprises. On the Refo 500 website, there is a promotion for the Legacy of the Reformation Tour, which is directed by Dr. Beakey and Dr. Jason Van Vliet. It is clearly set forth on this site that the tour is sponsored by Refo 500, a multi-year international project that seeks to demonstrate the continuing relevance of the Reformation, to quote the little blurb on the site. For more information on this matter, you have but to visit Refo 500 website at www.refo500.com. Dr. Beakey enthused about the tour in the promotional article that is mounted on that site. There, and we quote, he says, Having preached from the Heidelberg Catechism for 35 years, and having written two volumes of sermons on it, as well as teaching a seminary course on preaching from the Heidelberg Catechism for decades, I am excited about this European and Reformation tour and look forward to playing an active role in enjoying fellowship and historical sites with friends from far and near. End of quote. On his own site, Dr. Beakey was most excited about this REFO 500 tour, and in an entry dated August 30th, 2012, we read the following. I am excited to be partnering with Wit Travel on a beautiful historic tour in Europe next summer. Please consider joining us on a first-class tour next July 11th to the 22nd, traveling through the Netherlands and Germany, taking in various sites related to the Reformation, and ending in Heidelberg, in commemoration of the Heidelberg Catechism's 450th anniversary. Dr. Van Vliet and I hope to fill one bus each. So the tour is limited to 96 people, 48 people per bus. I'd love to have you along, God willing. Send in your reservation today. End of quote. Part of the tour, thus promoted by Dr. Beakey, includes a service on Lord's Day, 14th of July, 2013. The blurb for the tour reads, "We'll return to the Groot Kirk in Hasselt for morning worship. Dr. Herman Selderhus will preach in Dutch and English. Dr. Selderhus is Professor of Church History at the Theological University in Apeldoorn and the Director of REFO 500. Now, this tour is extensively advertised on various REFO 500 sites. There can be no mistaking Dr. Selderhus's links with REFO 500 and through him, Dr. Beakey's participation in REFO 500's activities. Let's just look at the association that Dr. Beakey has with this director of REFO 500, Dr. Herman Selderhus. Maybe I had better introduce the man to you first. He is listed as REFO 500's director on the Netherlands REFO 500 website. He is therefore a prominent and leading figure in the world of REFO 500 and its affairs. But more importantly, he is a thoroughgoing ecumenist. I found an interview with him on the site of Acton Institute. The interview is called Reformation and Rediscovery, an interview with Herman J. Selderhus. Dr. Selderhus is answering the question, in this interview, what is the current state of religion in Holland, and more broadly, Christianity in Europe? He replied, "When we look at church members and church attendance, it does not look good. I just lectured today on the developments in former Eastern Germany, the former German Democratic Republic, and linked that to developments in Germany in general. The Protestant Church in Germany has lost 2.5 million members in the last 10 years, which is quite a bit. You still have a lot left, but 10% has vanished, and it is a trend. As for the Netherlands, the perspective is that within the next 10 years, 1,000 churches will close. On the other side, you see new developments. Young churches are emerging. You see church planting movements. We see missionaries from foreign countries, those countries European churches used to send missionaries to, and now they are coming back. They say that you brought us the gospel. Now we will take it back to you so you can learn from it again. So on the one hand, the institutional churches have a hard time nowadays, but Christianity as a way of life and a way of faith has a future, and there are developments among young people. A perfect example, and dear listeners, I want you to follow me now as I give you this quotation. A perfect example is the Young Catholic Convention in Spain, and the Pope attended the event there, and hundreds of thousands of young people attended that Mass, and they were enthusiastic about it. These two developments are contradictory. What I do see is that young people need a clear message. They want that. They want to hear what is right and what is wrong. There is chaos. There is ethical chaos. There is political chaos. Now, who will give us straight talk? Who tells us what way to go? There is a need for that. And the Pope is preaching a clear message, and young people are attracted to that. End of my quotation from Dr. Selderhouse's interview. Dear listeners, you take heed of what that man has said. He says young people are asking for straight talk, and the Pope gave them clear direction. These words indicate the thinking of Dr. Selderhouse on Romanism. He believes that the enthusiastic reception given by young people to the words of the Pope is a welcome indication of hope for Christianity. Clearly, he does not view the Pope as does the Westminster Confession of Faith or the Reformers in general. The Westminster Confession of Faith says of the Pope, "There is no other head of the Church but the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor can the Pope of Rome in any sense be head thereof, but is that Antichrist, that man of sin and son of perdition, that exalts himself in the Church against Christ and all that is called God." So the Confession of Faith and all those who adhere to it, both in the past and today, surely will find no encouragement from hundreds of thousands of young people listening enthusiastically to the blasphemies of the Pope. How can a person who claims to walk in the faith and footsteps of the Reformation and Puritans rejoice in the embracing of the Pope's word by tens of thousands of young people, as does Dr. Selderhouse? How can he herald such an event as a token for good and a mark of the Christian Church advancing? Yet this man is a much lauded close associate and fellow conference speaker with Dr. Beakey. Dr. Selderhouse is part of a network of scholars who seem to spend their time traversing the world, speaking at conferences which give the impression of being based upon sound Reformed theology. However, when one trawls through the mass of internet sites that are linked to REFO 500 and its associate sites, one finds compromise, deceit, and double talk. Back on the 19th of October 2010, an announcement was mounted on the REFO 500 news site. On October 15th, it says, during the 16th Century Studies Conference in Montreal, it was announced that the REFO 500 academic partners are closer to organizing through the Reformation Research Group, shortened to REFO-RG. In this way, research institutions within REFO 500 can more effectively cooperate and still make use of cooperation with partners outside of REFO 500, which was a problem for some academic partners until recently. End of quotation. Just who are these REFO 500 partners, and what sort of cooperation are they seeking? Well, Dr. Selderhouse is one of the academics taking a leading part. He is a member of the board of REFO RG. He is its director. One of his fellow board members is Violet Sowen of the Catholic University of Louvain. In conjunction with REFO RG, she and her university are planning a conference in December 2013 with the purpose of highlighting, quote, 450 years of the Council of Trent, which has been prepared by the University of Louvain. What was the Council of Trent? Well, dear listener, I'm sure most of you will know that the Council of Trent was convened to counter, oppose, and destroy the work of the Protestant Reformation. Dr. Selderhouse and REFO RG are clearly bent on having this work of Satan embraced by the Protestant people as an integral part of the purpose of God wrought out in the Reformation. Remember, Dr. Selderhouse is Dr. Joel Beakey's dear friend. Dr. Bickey must be well aware of these events, and well aware of the statements that I have just read to you. Yet it appears he is happy to continue fellowshipping and preaching with Dr. Silderhaus. Despite stating in the summer past that he was deceived about the nature of Reefle 500 and would break all links with it, Dr. Bickey is as involved with its director in such a way which can only indicate that he endorses Dr. Silderhaus and his views and teachings. On the website, Joel Bickey, Doctrine for Life, dated the 9th of November 2012, Dr. Bickey commends a special conference at the Canadian Reformed Seminary in Hamilton, Ontario, on the Heidelberg Catechism, listing himself and Dr. Hermann Silderhaus, among others, as speakers. The conference is called Your Only Comfort and is promoted on the Reefle 500 site. In his blog, dated September 25th, 2012, Dr. Bickey speaks of flying out of Belfast. He had just had some meetings in Northern Ireland, and from there he flew to the Netherlands for some more meetings. One of the places he visited was Apeldoorn's Theological Seminary, where, he says, Dr. Hermann Silderhaus gave us a tour in his own inimitable style. Clearly Dr. Bickey is on good terms with the director of Reefle 500, that evil organisation from which he promised his concerned and alarmed friends in the UK, some of whom had just bidden farewell to him in Belfast, before his flying to visit Dr. Silderhaus, from whom he said he would break all links. Dr. Bickey also endorses Dr. Silderhaus's books. He has been a close associate with Dr. Silderhaus for a number of years, and on the internet there are many indications of that. Dr. Bickey's Reformation Heritage book website endorses and sells a number of Dr. Silderhaus's books. Is this not another indication of the links which remain between Dr. Bickey and the apostasy of Reefle 500? Surely, I have highlighted enough information to indicate that when Dr. Joel Bickey said to friends that he had been deceived about the character of Reefle 500 and that he would have nothing more to do with it, he has not acted as he promised. Just why Dr. Bickey has acted as he has is most puzzling. He has not kept his word. He has maintained his links with Reefle 500 through preaching engagements, book sales, and personal fellowship. That is not separation. That is not what he promised. He did very speedily remove many of the internet links with Reefle 500. That was pointed out to me by those who sought to defend him. But when we go behind the shop window of the internet, we see that the same working arrangements with Reefle 500 have been maintained. Shop window reformations are what fundamentalists have charged Roman Catholicism with. It has been universally accepted amongst Bible believers that Rome's changes are mere window dressing. Such chicanery makes Romanism a deceitful entity. But when those professing Christianity, those presenting themselves as promoters and defenders of the faith of Jesus Christ, engage in such tactics, just what are we to think of such persons? Please bear in mind that good men, true Christians, can act improperly, sinfully, shamefully. Recall Paul's words in Galatians 2:11-14. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled, acted as hypocrites, likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? That's how a man of God dealt with hypocrisy in the days of the apostle. I trust that all that listen to this program today recognize that what we have said is motivated by the same spirit as that which moved Paul to denounce the actions of Peter. Paul had Peter's welfare on his heart, as he also had that of those that had been misled by Peter's actions, men such as his dear friend Barnabas. Was there criticism of Paul for acting and speaking as he did? Of course there was. It's not recorded what Barnabas said, but I can imagine that he was anything but pleased with Paul. But the matter of exposing wrong was more important than personal popularity, as far as Paul was concerned. It was a matter of maintaining the truth of God and the spiritual well-being of the people of God. If the dissimulation or hypocrisy, for that is the meaning of the word, of Peter and Barnabas had gone unchallenged, as I am sure many would have wished, then the cause of the gospel of Christ would have suffered. The issue at the heart of this public controversy is stated by Paul in the verse 16 of the passage we have looked at. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 2, verse 16. The issue is not about personalities, though so many controversies within Christendom today, sadly and shamefully, is just about personality. No, this issue centers upon the actions and behavior of Dr. Joel Beakey, and is about whether or not he is walking in accordance with God's word with regards to his associations, fellowship, and links with Refo 500. I say, as graciously as I can, that he is not walking in obedience to God's word with respect to the matters we have sought to highlight. In so doing, he is harming himself. He is misleading the flock of God and those ministers who have come under his influence, and is doing great disservice to those who are already deceived by the ecumenical apostasy embodied in Refo 500 and its associated organizations. To shepherd and herd Christians toward closer links with the likes of Dr. Selderhouse is herding God's people toward apostasy. As a Christian, I can do none other than speak out on the issue, irrespective how that stance is viewed.
Now, just as a sort of PS to what Reverend Foster has shared, I would mention that there are still two videos of Dr. Beakey on the Refo 500 site, one in which he does promote Refo 500 directly. Also, on the English Refo 500 site, there appear to be for sale 25 items from Reformation Heritage Books. It's also very curious that while Reformation Heritage Books and Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary are not currently, and have not been since June 25th when we issued that article, not listed on the sponsors and partners page, but they're both listed on a page titled Who, Where, What, which includes this description, quote, find here the locations and contact details for all the worldwide partners and sponsors of Refo 500. The map shows the locations for all the partners, sponsors, and the Reformation cities who are connected with the Refo 500. You can sort by all partners and sponsors and by city, unquote. I said that is somewhat curious, isn't it? And then I would also mention the Canadian Reformed Theological Seminary, which Reverend Foster spoke of, is an official Refo 500 partner as well. And the PDF schedule the seminary provides for this upcoming conference, which again, Mr. Foster spoke of, carries the Refo 500 logo. And then there was a quote Mr. Foster didn't mention This currently appears on Dr. Beakey's blog. Mr. Foster had some other quotes, but I thought you might be interested in this from Dr. Beakey's, as I speak, current blog. Quote, this summer on July 11th, the 19th, 2013, Dr. Van Villet and I will lead the Legacy of the Reformation tour through Germany and the Netherlands. In addition, and of course that's the REFL 500 event, in addition to learning more about the history and doctrines of the Reformation, he goes on and describes the tour there. And then he says, those interested may also register for the Heidelberg Conference on Reformed Theology from July 18th to the 21st, 2013. It will be a fitting way to cap off our tour through Europe to Heidelberg. So there's several things connected to this REFL 500 tour Dr. Beakey is promoting and saying you can register for this, you can register for that. He speaks there of those who will be speaking. And then the link to the tour promotion Dr. Beakey provides in this blog goes directly to the official REFL 500 website. Also, Reverend Foster made clear, of course, that this Legacy of the Reformation tour is a REFL 500 event, including REFL 500 personnel being involved. But I don't think he mentioned that even the travel agency handling trip details for this tour is an official REFL 500 partner. Well, there's more that could be said about Dr. Beakey's deep ongoing involvement, entanglement with REFL 500, but we need to move on. We come now to the subject of Joel Beakey and his involvement, in fact, since at least 2002 with the Evangelical Theological Society, henceforth ETS. Of course, the ETS website provides much information on the organization, including this summary. Founded in 1949, the Evangelical Theological Society, ETS, is a group of scholars, teachers, pastors, students, and others dedicated to the oral exchange and written expression of theological thought and research. The ETS is devoted to the inerrancy and inspiration of the Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The Society publishes a quarterly journal, the Journal of the Evangelical Theological Society, an academic periodical featuring peer-reviewed articles as well as extended book reviews in the biblical and theological disciplines. The ETS also holds national and regional meetings across the United States, unquote. Under the purpose statement of the ETS is this, quote, the Evangelical Theological Society was formed in 1949 to accomplish the following purpose, to foster conservative biblical scholarship by providing a medium for the oral exchange and written expression of thought and research in the general field of the theological disciplines as centered in the Scriptures, unquote. Well, that would all sound pretty good, I suppose, but as is so often the case these days of confusion, deception, when it comes to the ETS, the devil really is found in the details. Under affiliated societies on the ETS website is this, quote, the following organizations are affiliated academic and scholarly societies who currently meet with the Evangelical Theological Society in its annual meeting, Evangelical Philosophical Society, Near East Archaeological Society, and the Adventist Theological Society. I want to stop there and just go back for a minute. That meeting again, currently meet with. These are like big conferences. These are where papers are presented and these various people from various places get up and speak and so on and so forth. Let's go on now, though, as we describe what this is, the Evangelical Theological Society. Well, there's a link provided to the Adventist Theological Society, which is associated with ETS. Get a little tangled up here if we're not careful. It is one of the affiliated societies, as they're calling it, with ETS. We have a link to the Adventist Theological Society, and it says that they are a theological resource for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, unquote. Now, I'm going to assume that the listener knows enough about the Seventh-day Adventist Church to know it's a counterfeit Christian church. And we haven't checked into this Near East Archaeological Society. I have no idea what that is. Now, as for going back to this affiliated society, affiliated with ETS, involved with ETS, the Evangelical Theological Society, As for this evangelical philosophical society, those who think wisdom can be had from the likes of Thomas Aquinas, C.S. Lewis, Soren Kierkegaard, Aristotle, they'll be right at home at this thing, this evangelical so-called philosophical society. And for the record, the EPS folks do. They do more than talk and issue papers about the mental meanderings and mutterings of deep-thinking dead men now in hell. One can also access the wisdom so-called of living philosophers. This is one of those you-have-to-see-it-to-believe-it situations. So in our article that we came out with yesterday, we gave the link to EPS. And if you get that article, you can get any number of links with regard to all the things I'm presenting today here on the Heart of the Matter, and which Mr. Foster has presented. Now, those who access that particular link will find things such as an interview with Chad Meister, professor of philosophy at Bethel College, Indiana, and book review editor for the Journal of the Evangelical Philosophical Society. In that interview, Meister makes such comments as, quote, "I've been engaged with the works of philosophers of religion from across religious and philosophical spectrums. It has been a most enlightening experience working with atheists, pluralists, feminists, continental philosophers, and Hindu, Buddhist, and Islamic scholars. I have learned much from them and am deeply indebted to them, and this dialogue has enriched my own thinking about a number of issues," unquote. Now, to reiterate, the Evangelical Philosophical Society is tied in with, it's an affiliated society with, the Evangelical Theological Society. And, of course, Dr. Beakey is right in the midst of all this. Now, to say the Evangelical Theological Society is grossly ecumenical is on par with saying the Pope is Roman Catholic. The individuals involved with Dr. Beakey and the ETS include apostate Protestants and new evangelicals, including charismatics, as well as Romanists, Orthodox, Seventh-day Adventists, and looking at all the information we've looked at with this ETS, if I've left anyone out there, my apologies. It's quite a brew. It's quite a brew of truth and error. It's quite a mix, a mishmash of apostates, false religionists, and then people like Dr. Joel Beakey. For a very up-to-date example of whom Dr. Beakey religiously, spiritually yokes with through ETS and at ETS conferences, we'll just take a glance here at the ETS annual meeting, Caring for Creation, which was held just this past November 14th through the 16th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Well, one of Dr. Beakey's yoke fellows at that event was, quote, unquote, Christian feminist, flaming feminist, Mimi Haydad, longtime president of Christians for Biblical Equality. Her biography on the CBE, Christians for Biblical Equality website, includes this, quote, "She is a founding member of the Evangelicals and Gender Study Group at the Evangelical Theological Society," unquote. Another of Dr. Beakey's conference co-laborers was N.T. Wright, a key leader of the New Perspective on Paul movement. Dr. Beakey apparently enjoyed not only the ministry fellowship of the conference, or meeting as it's called, but the social fellowship as well, having posted on one of his blog entries a picture of the event's banquet. Now, the Orthodox Church was also on hand at the ETS conference in Milwaukee in the person of this father, quote unquote, Wilbur Ellsworth, whose presentation had an interesting title, quote, "Why I Had to Leave Evangelicalism to Find Something More," unquote. A number of Roman Catholics delivered papers as well. One such Romanist who spoke, in fact, twice, and also appeared as a panelist, was Francis J. Beckwith, professor of Baylor University, and the author of a number of books, including Return to Rome, Confessions of an Evangelical Catholic. The title of one of Beckwith's papers that he delivered was, quote, "From Catholic to Evangelical and Back Again, Reflections of a Revert 5 Years Later," unquote. In a subsequent article, Beckwith wrote about that ETS conference. He closed with this concerning his many ecumenical friends. he fellowshipped with at the conference we're talking about, the event we're talking about. Quote, I continue to hope and pray with our Lord, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. Now, that article that I just mentioned can be found at the Catholic thing. Its title is Evangelicals, Catholics, and the Ecumenism of Conviction. And by the way, a presentation given right after one of Dr. Beakey's was titled Karl Barth's Early Lectures on the Reformed Confessions. Now, Karl Barth was, simply put, a modernist heretic. That particular session of the conference, by the way, was constructed by the ETS Reformation Studies Steering Committee. Dr. Beakey is on the Reformation Studies Steering Committee, as well as another ETS Steering Committee. Another Roman Catholic who spoke at the Milwaukee ETS conference Dr. Beakey took part in is priest Robert Sirico of Acton Institute. Now, he teamed up with Dr. Timothy George of Beeson Divinity School, chairman of the board for the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, for a presentation titled The Life and Legacy of Charles W. Colson. In the On Ducks and New Calvinists article, we included some background information on Timothy George. Now, to add to that brief summary of the man's accomplishments, I would just mention here that George recently attended and spoke at the 13th Ordinary General Assembly of the Synod of Bishops, October 7th through the 28th, just this last fall, in Rome, where he addressed the assembly this way. Dear Holy Father, that would be the Pope, Venerable Fathers of the Synod, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, by the way, books with contributions by Timothy George can still be purchased from Reformation Heritage Books. This, though, might be a good place to mention that the ETS conference in question also featured a panel discussion on purgatory. The three-member panel included Romanus Beckwith and two Protestants, so-called. Now, rest assured, such panel discussions at ETS events are not the equivalent of Luther versus Eck. Far from it. Rather, it is Vatican II in action. It's the friendly, quote, ecumenical dialogue, which serves to transform modes of thought and behavior and the daily life of the separated brethren. And this, of course, is for the purpose of preparing the way for their unity of faith in the bosom of a church, one and visible. And, of course, I've been sharing some excerpts there from Vatican Council II, Document 42, Section 2. So it's more friends getting together, and there is equality here when it comes to your view, your view, your view. There is a moral, religious, spiritual, supposedly biblical equality. Every view is acceptable. It's just that we all have different views, so we're just all going to respect each other, and I'll just share some things and you share some things, and we'll all listen to each other, and then we'll have a banquet together. Now, the more one delves into the ETS, or for that matter REFL 500, the more he feels as if he's staring at a horrific theological car wreck, just a tangled mass of truth and error, which to the faithful Christian just reeks of destruction and death. For instance, consider this statement from a presentation given by Chris Castaldo, titled Crossing the Tiber, Reasons for Conversion at the Catholic-Protestant Intersection. This was given, again, at the ETS conference in Milwaukee, where Dr. Beakey spoke several times. Listen to this excerpt. One becomes a Catholic when he recognizes the sacramental presence of Christ embodied in an institutional church, receiving from it sanctifying grace that leads to salvation. On the other hand, one is an evangelical Protestant when he has embraced Scripture as the supreme authority, coupled with a born-again experience that appropriates justifying grace by faith alone. Unquote. So here you have it. This is what I was just talking about. See, you can be a Christian this way. You can do it this way, by the sacramental presence of Christ embodied in the institutional church, receiving from it sanctifying grace that leads to salvation, of course, after a little time in purgatory and there finally, or you can go the Protestant route. Either one is acceptable. Now, Castaldo is the director of the Ministry of Gospel Renewal for the Billy Graham Center at Wheaton College. In his presentation, Castaldo spoke of the conversion of John Henry Newman to Romanism and Peter Martyr Vermigelli to Protestantism. Now, those who read the paper this man presented will find that Castaldo equates conversion in either direction to be moral, spiritual equivalence. And this is what I'm trying to press home with my earlier comments. Everything is morally, spiritually equivalent. It's all on the same equal plane. It's all acceptable. It's just different views. This then should give you listeners at least a very brief insight into the Evangelical Theological Society, which Joel Beakey is tangled up with. As for the particular ETS Milwaukee event I've just told you about and which Dr. Beakey attended and spoke at, it certainly would be remiss of me not to mention that at that meeting, or if you like, conference, each day began with a time of corporate worship and prayer. This daily time was described this way by conference organizers. Quote, let your day of theology flow from doxology in a service of corporate worship. Join us for a simple worship service of scripture and prayer. Corporate worship is what this is, you see. We've told you who was involved. In addition, a worship service was held on Thursday afternoon at the conference. Speaking of that service, the event schedule states, quote, all are invited for a time of corporate worship, including scripture reading, singing, and prayer. Join us as we glorify God together and pray for the work of ETS, the ministries of her members, and the church as a whole, unquote. So it's just as I said, a horrific theological car wreck, isn't it? That's what it reminds us of. And there's almost no end to what could be said to prove just how horrible a wreck it is. In fact, I should mention that that 2012 ETS event also featured a presentation titled, quote, A Biblical Worldview and an Ancient Earth by theistic evolution champion Greg Davidson, University of Mississippi. But we need to leave this issue, the issue of ETS and Joel Beakey, and move on to the World Reform Fellowship and Joel Beakey. Now, Dr. Beakey is a member of the World Reform Fellowship and has been since at least 2007. The WRF is a, quote, Reformed Evangelical Worldwide Fellowship, unquote, with individual, church, and ministry members from all around the globe. Now, a survey of the World Reform Fellowship Statement of Faith reveals a stunning mix of sound doctrine and gross error. WRF individual church and ministry members include not only the deeply compromised, including many new Calvinists and, of course, also new evangelicals, Arminian brand, but also the outright apostate. As example of the latter, I would refer the listener to St. Francis Anglican Church, Dallas, Texas, USA. If you go to that church's website, you'll see the picture at the top is labeled St. Francis receiving the stigmata. And you get to see the picture. And then there's the welcome message on that church's website. Here's an excerpt. May Our Lady, Blessed Francis, and all the saints pray for you. May Holy Michael and all the angels watch over you. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you. Amen. Father Allen. The WRF also includes a fair number of Pentecostal and charismatic churches and ministries. The WRF appears to run the full theological spectrum, including the theology of ecology types, such as Dr. Sam Logan. A paper by Dr. Logan, the international director of the World Reform Fellowship, is posted on the WRF website, and it's titled Evangelical Reformed Approach to Environmental Issues. Now, I want to read just an excerpt from Logan's article. Alternatively, one can recognize in the Creator a commitment to His original purposes for man and the earth. Eden sees man in harmony with the land as its ruler and guardian. The fall involves alienation between man and the land. Redemption brings substantial healing of man's attitude toward his environment, and the restoration at the consummation is a renewal of Eden. As I outline a biblical theology of land moving from creation to new creation, I will seek to establish that care for the earth is a central concern of the kingdom, unquote. Now, that was Dr. Sam Logan, who is the International Director of the World Reform Fellowship. Dr. Beakey is a member of that very organization, WRF. It's worth noting also that Dr. Beakey's Reformation Heritage Books carries some of the writings of Dr. Sam Logan, including a book called Confronting Kingdom Challenges. That book contains the writings of, quote, a diverse group of contributors, unquote. It's edited by Dr. Sam Logan, actually. And suffice it to say, concerning that diverse group of contributors, I personally would not want to be in any way responsible for spreading their teachings. Actually, Confronting Kingdom Challenges contains the messages which were presented at the 2006 General Assembly of the World Reform Fellowship. Now, as just one more example of the organizations Dr. Beakey has joined himself to, yoked himself to, in the World Reform Fellowship, I want to set before you the International Peacekeeping Church of Christ. That organization's website states, let me read some excerpts here, we are preparing our students to collaborate with people of all faiths interested in the theology of human rights and development. And another excerpt, we work together with all Christian denominational and non-denominational churches or ministries to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We are Catholics, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Wesleyans, Puritans, Baptists, Mennonites, Evangelicals, Pentecostals, and more. The International Peacekeeping Church of Christ links include United Nations, Roman Catholic, Liberation Theology websites, and other sites that are anything but Christian. Now, there's much, much more that could be said about just this one World Reform Fellowship member organization or any number of other individuals, churches, or ministry members of the WRF. Those wanting to know more about the WRF, of which Joel Beakey is a member, can go to their website. And again, we give all these links in the article we published yesterday, all the links to all these groups. Now, with that, we're going to close this very, very tragic, troubling, but extremely important topic, which Reverend Ivan Foster and I have felt compelled to take up again today. We're going to leave it to the listener, of course, to search the scriptures in light of what we've shared. Is it not the undeniable truth that Dr. Beakey is in open disobedience to the Word of God by his yoking with unbelievers, by his having fellowship with unrighteousness, by his communion with darkness? And in this, is he not dishonoring Christ, introducing and desensitizing as well the Lord's people to grievous error and false teachers? And he is a minister of Christ. It doesn't matter if you say, well, he's done so much good. That's not how we judge matters like this. Judge by the Word of God. And if you tell us that we should have remained silent since Dr. Beakey professes to love Christ and his people, I will answer you with Romans 12, the verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, sincerely feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit and a burden of duty to Christ Jesus, would you have my brother Ivan and I sit in silence when we felt compelled to sound a warning? Would you have us be as those spoken of in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10? His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Should we not seek? Unworthy us, who have received and daily receive so much grace and mercy from the Lord, should we not humbly seek to obey? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong.